Thank you, Eric. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Victoria Gotti, the daughter of mafia chieftain John Gotti, the Dapper Don, the Teflon Don. Their story is told in a made-for-TV movie that premieres this week on Lifetime called Victoria Gotti, My Father's Daughter. Victoria, thanks for being here. How are you?
How are you?
Really great to talk to you.
We watched the trailer, and I cannot wait to see this.
Thank you.
We all have, we are all obsessed with the movies The Godfather. The Sopranos was a big hit. We are so into this, and I'm interested to see your side of the story. It wasn't all peaches and cream for you growing up, the daughter of a family boss, was it?
No, not at all. I mean, everybody, like I said, I get asked this question a lot, and everybody has their own perception. You know, you could have four siblings, five siblings, two siblings in a household, and everybody, you know, sees their childhood, their upbringing through their own eyes. And this is a movie specifically about my relationship with my father and what I've seen from, it's really about my life growing up, from as far back as I can remember to today, you know, till his death, actually. You know, it was just all of the strifes, how I took it in, how I perceived it. And I think a lot of people will be very surprised at the misconceptions that they all, you know, were led to believe with the headlines and this and that and that. So it was good to kind of purge the project. It was good.
Victoria, was the information ever kept from you? Did your father ever say, I'd prefer that my kids don't know about the family business, we'll try to hide it, or was that never an issue?
He sheltered us as long as he possibly could until we were old enough to know in our own way, you know, either by hearing about it, reading about it, watching it on the news, you know, but if you would ask him or whatever, he was just, it was like censored. You did not talk. Don't ask, don't tell.
Now, Bill, you have two twin daughters. They're 22 years old.
Yeah.
You're a little protective of them. What was it like having a father such as yours? I bet he was very protective of you and the people you dated.
Oh, very, very. I actually met and married my very first boyfriend, which I think kind of represents, you know, I was raised in a household, though it was not that long ago, where we're not talking about, you know, the 60s, even the 70s. It was, you know, much more modern time and a lot more, you know, feminism going on. But yet I couldn't wait to, you know, grow up, get out on my own and just go. But yet I met and married my first boyfriend, which a lot of people today are like, what? You know, it's like almost unheard of in those years. But, you know, I was raised by my father, who was very, very strict. You know, you had to be the good girl. You know, you couldn't, there was no fooling around. There was no dating. There was no, you had to be the good girl with a good reputation. Your reputation was sacrilegious. You know, you could never, once it went away, you couldn't get it back. So this is the mindset that I was raised with. So protective, yes, he was very much protective. I don't think I brought another boy home before my ex-husband.
And that's Carmine you're referring to. And
yes,
you went on to have three kids. How was your father as a grandfather?
Oh, he was terrific. I mean, the kids adored him. They took his death so badly that, I mean, I was surprised because they were very young when he did pass. And I was so surprised at just, you know, how tight the connection between each of them were. And they each had a separate and different relationship with them. He always kept it unique with each one of them. And he would play up each trait in, you know, the character traits in one versus the likes, dislikes in the other. And have different conversations prepared when they would go visit him, you know, or when they were even younger and he was home and they would see him and be with him, you know. And play. I mean, he ran the house like really, really a tight ship. We had to bring the grandchildren to him, my siblings and I, certain amount of times a week. You know, he wanted to see them. He had, you know, made time for them, and he expected us to comply, to be there. I mean, they had, you know, family time came first. That was it. So my children grew up remembering that and knowing that, and then of course missing that.
We're talking with Victoria Gotti.
So important with him.
Victoria is the daughter of John Gotti. There is a film on Lifetime this Saturday at 7 o'clock, February the 9th, My Father's Daughter, that tells the relationship between Victoria Gotti and her father. The man you married, Victoria, Carmine, an Italian, if you had fallen in love with a non-Italian, how would your dad have reacted to that?
Oh, that's what he wanted, to be very honest. He preferred someone, you know, much different. And he would always say to me, you know, it was different with you. It's different with you. And every time I would go back and argue with him and, you know, wonder why and say, why can't I date this person? Why is it, you know, forbidden? What's happening? You know, his attitude and answer to me was, I want better for you. I've always wanted better for you. This is not for you. He's not for you. You know, this is common. I had bigger and better expectations for, you know, your education. I did not waste this, you know, on for you to sit home. In other words, one little example was my ex-husband was very traditional too. And he came from a mindset in the family where he believed, you know, the man worked, the man provided. And if he did not, if the wife did work or have a career or life or her own identity, that was kind of like a blow to their manhood. It was like as if they couldn't supply or provide enough. I came with a career, and that was, you know, I was very young when I met him, but I was determined to have that career no matter what, and I did. And he once went to my dad to see if he could stop me from doing it, and my father said, absolutely not. He said, are the kids fed? Are they clean? Is the house taken care of? I never had any, you know, the maids, the nannies, the this, the that. I did it myself. And my father said, because we were very old, the men were old-fashioned, and he said to my ex-husband, is all of her every day, you know, are they done? Is she lapsing in something that I don't know about? And my ex-husband would say, well, no, but my father said, then that's it. You know why she's going to write her books, and you know why she's going to have her career as a journalist? Because I said so. And that was it. You know, my ex-husband was kind of, you know, really upset. He just didn't get it. He would come home, you know, and go on and on with me. I don't understand why you have to work. I don't support this. There's just no reason for it. And we would argue a lot over that. And I would say to him, I don't know why I just don't support it. I'm here for everybody. I'm here for you. I'm here for the kids. I'm always here. It's not like I miss things. I do this with my own time. You know, I didn't get, you know, there was no one that was going to stop me from getting what I had wanted or doing what I wanted to do. And that was a big source of grief in our marriage. I don't think he ever thought when we were younger that I would take it, you know, sure, to the fullest. I think he thought I'd just become comfortable and stay home.
Yeah.
Make babies.
I am half Italian. My grandfather was born in Venice, so Northern Italian. And as I'm listening to you talk about this, why is it that Italian men love their mamas so much, but not their wives? They treat their mothers with such respect, but not their wives.
Well, you know what it is? There's a saying, as you know, I'm sure, being half Italian, they say, if he's good to his mom,
he'll be a great husband, yes.
And it's interesting because, you know, I remembered that, and I remembered growing up and that's the first sign that I watched for, and I did see signs, you know, that my ex was, whatever his mom wanted, he strived to get because they had lost, you know, he lost his father at a very young age. So him and his brothers had stepped in kind of, you know, to fill that void. And he was also, on the other hand, you know, very good and generous to me to a certain, I did not know that he had manic depressive disorder. Wow. I did not know a lot of things about him because I was this, you know, different kind of a girl, kind of very sheltered and raised differently. I had never spent one night away from my family, away from my home until the day I married, until the day I had, you know, went on my honeymoon.
Wow.
So I didn't know, you know.
Victoria, I know that this is a very difficult chapter in the Gotti family story, but I'm curious to hear your take on this. The loss of your brother, Frank, the story has been told, and I'm just curious, what as an insider, for people who don't know, Frank Gotti was 12 years old. He was riding a mini bike and a neighbor hit him, and Frank died as a result of that. And then that man died very soon thereafter. What were your thoughts on that whole period?
Well, that's not something that's ever been proven or come to light, but there's been so many different stories about it that I think I was, you know, really closer than anybody, you know, really in the mix, because when my brother died, my mother was, she was pretty much catatonic for about, I remember her stepping back for a few years. I mean, it took her a long time to get over that, a sure. long time. So I went from being, you know, young college student to suddenly having to run a household and take care of a 3-year-old and, you know, do things that, I didn't expect to do. I mean, we had our chores, we did our things, we were, you know, like an old fashioned home, you had to earn your allowance and all that, but this was not something I was ever, you know, ready for, but did do, stepped into those positions. The thing was, I mean, the hardest thing for me, besides losing him and having that front seat and watching all of it, was, I think, being home with my mother to watch her all the time. And what people don't know is that she tried to kill herself 3 times on my watch, and it was the hardest thing in the world to, you know, see, like, the doctors come running in the middle of the night and the doors flying open and all the flurry of activity. And then one night, you know, night after night, I would see, ironically, what the world also doesn't know is that the man that hit my brother was a drinker.
Yeah.
He was hit by a drunk driver. That was a fact that I think most of the world knew. But at the end, and he dragged him pretty much a block and a half, didn't even know he had a child attached to his car until I think 3 neighbors literally stood in front of his car banging. But at the end of that, our yards literally touched. I mean, how ironic.
Yeah.
They literally touched back fences. So at that point, I would have to sit there and hear all the story. You know, like, they would be out there. He would be out there every night drinking his beers up with his friends, and the barbecue was going and the music going. And I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
I don't know how my mother, you know, half out of it anyway, could go through. And then one night she loses it. She just completely loses it. And it's a big, you'll see in the movie what happens. It really is kind of a shocking part
sure.
of the movie.
Yeah.
The movie we're talking about, My Father's Daughter, it's an inside look. You produced this as well. And Victoria yeah. Gotti, My Father's Daughter, it airs on Lifetime this Saturday. I can't wait to see it. You and I are about the same age, and we have the same taste in hair and makeup, big and blonde and lots of makeup.
Well, thank you. There you go. Kindred spirit.
Yes, it is so nice to talk to you. And really, it looks really good. Victoria Gotti, My Father's Daughter, Lifetime this Saturday, February 9th, 7 p.m. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you, too. Good luck. It's Victoria Gotti. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll close things off. That's coming up in a little bit.